So, interviewing world traveler Aiden, 16th February 2017. Hi, Aiden.
Good morning, Horst. Nice to see you again on this bright, lovely morning here in Vienna.
And welcome to your second podcast episode.
Yes, well, I wasn't thinking I would do another one ever again, but here I am, second one in 2 days. This might be my new career. Who knows?
Okay, who knows? Aiden, topic of this morning is how can you, as a world traveler and an expert bum, how can you have a love life or a sexual life at all? How does it work out if you never stay long at the same same location?
And yeah.
I think isn't it hard to maintain relationships?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, obviously, anything long-term, impossible. I mean, when you're really only staying in a city for maybe an average of 3 to 5 days.
Yeah.
And of course, obviously, now I'm 30, obviously things have changed over the last 10 years. Obviously, when I was staying more in hostels and going more into the party scene, then I wouldn't say it was difficult or easy, but you got more opportunities to find someone for the night, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, now when I'm couch surfing, obviously 95% of the time I'm actually being hosted by guys, which I actually prefer, to be honest.
You prefer to be hosted by guys?
Yes, I do. Because obviously couchsurfing is not a sex thing. I think when I'm hosted by a guy, as soon as I meet him, 99% of the time, it's like, I just feel like he's my brother, you know?
Okay.
It's like, easy going. Hey, man, how's it going? Here's the beer. What's going on? And with a woman, you have to, not to say you have to behave, but you sort of have to act in a different matter, which I think most people would, you know? I got to impress her, or do I have to do this? I don't want to annoy her. So with a guy, it's just easy, and it's like, oh, it's really easy going.
Maybe insert here for listeners who are not not well known with couch surfing.
Yes.
There is, of course, like everywhere in life, a slight problems of especially guys misbehaving at couch surfing.
Yes.
Like they're trying to take sexual advantage of female hosts.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, even some of my experiences, which I really don't like talking about negative things, but even through, mostly through Latin America, a lot of my hosts were gay, and which is no problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sometimes they push the boundaries. Which,
so the guy, man, pushed the boundaries with you?
Yes, I mean, after a few beers, they might come and try to jump in my bed with me, or start touching my trousers and things like that. But again, at the end of the day, these are all experiences that now you sort of look back and laugh. And, and even when it happened, I wasn't angry. I didn't get angry with them. I just made sure that I told them I wasn't into that thing. And most of them are like, oh, sorry, Aiden, but you know. But at least they try. And actually, I think with gay guys, it's interesting because it's not like if they want something, they just go for it. You know, they don't care. They want to ask something and, you know, they don't hold back. Where with a woman, then maybe there's something different about that.
So you're saying gay guys are more direct with their approaches?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, they don't beat around the bush, as we say in Australia. You know, don't. They just go straight to the point. You know, Aiden, do you want to kiss me or they whatever? And I'm like,
but
no.
How you cope with that? Because I must say, let's say you're a guest, you're in a strange town, strange country, you're very happy that someone accepted you, that you have a roof for the night, and then he said, you want to kiss me.
Yeah, I mean, it's of course, I mean, everyone has their own approach.
Yeah.
For me, I sort of just tell them I'm not interested in that in a nice way, and then they usually laugh it off or joke it off, and then everything's okay. I mean, there's been some other times.
So you was never a host then said, oh, then leave my house, you're not interested.
No, but there was one time actually in Peru. It's quite a long story, we don't have much time, but I'll make it short. Basically, I got to his house and he only had one room, and so I understand we had to share a bed.
Yeah.
And that was no problem for me. I mean, look, when you travel around the world, I could sleep anywhere and I'm open to anything now. But then we went out.
Sleeping on the floor.
Yes, of course. Then I went into bed with him after we drinking some beers, and I said, you know, again, I'm really friendly, you know, thank you for a good night. And then, and then he proceeded to, you know, put my hand on his private part, and then things got a little bit more heated than that, which we don't really need to go into specific details.
And it was not your intention.
No, but again, many people I've told this story to were like, oh, Aiden, why didn't you hit him? Why didn't you do something? I'm like, well, what am I going to do? If I do that, then the situation gets even worse, you know?
Yeah.
I just was, I wasn't even angry with him. I just said, oh, please, man, I'm not into that type of thing. And that's okay, you know?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And how was your experience at being hosted by girls?
Yeah, well, you know, I've probably been hosted around 350 times in my life, and I probably 10 of them have been girls, not very often.
Really? So you're really few females.
Very, very few. And to be honest, like, looking back at them, like, basically when I've left, it's been like, oh, I'm so glad I'm leaving, and I haven't,
You was happy to leave?
Yeah, I mean, it's just we don't have that connection with them, you know, and it's, you know, with the guys, it's just like, as I said, you just get there and it's just
so
easy.
So you're not instant buddy with you?
No. And then after, so again, there's not many doing it, but again, I prefer to stay with men. Of course, it just makes like a brotherly thing, you know what I mean? So it's just easier.
Less complicated.
Yes, less complicated. But of course, there are some nice girls there too that it's nice. I mean, I had one in Innsbruck, and a nice German girl who just came back from traveling, and she was really easygoing and really nice, but still, it wasn't as nice and easygoing as staying with men.
And then you told me you were hosted by families a lot.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say a lot anymore, Horst, but I mean, I really like staying with families. I mean, you really get the understanding of the country, you know, you get to see the kids going to school, and then we share meals together. And
so you feel like the returning uncle or something? Or
yes, exactly. I mean, the last time it happened was just in Luxembourg, you know, in a small village in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, the father and mother and four children, it was just magical, you know. Cooking homemade pizzas together and like sharing my knowledge with the world of to the children who also have dreams to travel,
and they're usually the children listen to your stories.
Yes, well, at the end of the day, when you're living in Europe and you meet someone who's traveled as much as me, and so especially to the countries which no one has ever been to, it's really interesting, and they're learning a lot, because again, I'm telling them exactly how it is, not from a media perspective, which is unfortunately what everyone gets.
So you are better than TV.
Yes, it's a real experience. And the thing is that it's not because of me, you know. At the end of the day, I'm also a white male with a backpack on. So it's not like I went there and had a lucky experience. I mean, of course, I'm well-travelled and I know how to adapt myself to get the good experiences. But at the end of the day, if you just go to these countries, you're going to have a nice time. So I like staying with families. I really do like staying with families. It's really, really special. And actually, when I go to Bratislava tomorrow, I'm going to be staying with a family. So the wife and husband and three kids. And it'll be nice to share my experience with them again.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And you never get homesick and miss your own family back home in Australia if you're with families, especially?
Well, horse, actually, it's a good question. Actually, I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't have the easiest childhood. Okay. I mean, of course, let's compare it to the people I've been meeting around the world. It's not so bad at all.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I wouldn't say homesick, but sometimes I felt like, oh wow, I wish I had that family when I was growing up. Okay. You know, sometimes you sort of meet some mums or dads from around the world, and they treat me better than I've ever been treated from my own family.
Yeah.
But again, I don't try to dwell on those things. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I have two legs, two arms, and I'm still healthy. So, and I've made my life who I am. So, but I mean, I don't think I could be traveling for this long if I had a really close connection with my family, because I would miss them too much. Even some of the time I leave this family that I've only met for 2 days, I'm like, oh, I really miss that family, you know, and I've only been known them for 2 days, you know, I want to go back and see them. So, again, when you travel for a long time, there's always different reasons why people do it. But if I had a real close connection with my family, or I had some ties there, then I couldn't be just going around the world all the time. So it's the best of both worlds.
What happens if you get hosted or met a family, like they make you real comfortable, and then I think you're a bit sad if you leave, and then you can still manage to keep in contact with them? Let's say you said in first episode of our podcast you try to maintain in Facebook contacts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you do your best to keep in contact with many people as possible. And again, I'm quite good with that. And I mean, obviously, some people I keep in contact more than others because we had a better experience. Yeah. But at the end of the day obviously with the families that I've stayed with, they really touch me, because it is a really special experience. And at the end of the day is like you've come from all around, like this couch surfing, as I keep going back, like you come from all around the world. And you get to stay with a family and see how they really live and adapt, and especially in somewhere in South America and then even Africa. I mean, to go and stay with an African family in a small village, you know, I mean, these experiences is just overwhelming and so special. And
very hospitable.
So hospitable, but just seeing how they live and how they adapt. I mean, you know, no water, no electricity, yeah. and just basically no food, and there's, you know, obviously just the living conditions and just the way of life. It's just completely different, as we know, but really going there and seeing it and living like them, you know, knowing how difficult it is just to have some food and seeing how they cook with no gas. And, you know, obviously when it's raining on the roof, they put their buckets underneath the roof so the rainwater would come in down to the bucket so they can use it for their cooking or flushing the toilet and these things. It's really, 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 really life-changing. And I'm actually looking forward to getting back there in 6 days to see some more of these experiences. It will be very special. Absolutely, yes, yes. Well, I think actually this 3 weeks in Europe, when I came back to Europe, you know, I said, when I booked it, I'm thinking to myself, oh, what am I doing? And I think now I know why I came back to Europe, because I think because I haven't been in a Western country for 2 years, when I came back to Europe, as soon as I arrived, I started to realise how special the rest of the travel's been, you know? Yeah. Because again, when you're in Africa for such a long time, or Middle East, or South America, it becomes normal. Yeah, but as soon as you get on the plane and go to Brussels, you're like, Hayden, where have you just came from? Oh my goodness. So these experiences have been really special. So yeah, I can't wait to get back and share some more experiences there. Yeah, so nice gymnastics, yes. I'll be joining them later, I think.
Yeah, so... And did, I mean, you're so many years now around the world. Did you never had some some long-distance relationship or something you, let's say, you never fall into love to someone and then try to maintain this relationship despite all traveling?
No, Horst, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I'm always honest, but there hasn't been any. Like, no, not even one or things like that. I mean, when you're in a city for a short period of time, I think you might meet someone who looks okay or, you know, cute, or she seems quite nice. But you know that in a couple of days that you'll be leaving. And then, as I said also too, I sort of distance myself, because if I do meet someone, if you do meet someone, then I might get attached and stuck there. And I'm always wanting to keep travelling.
This is on the podcast now. Okay, yeah.
So, you know, again, I mean, obviously when you travel, people travel for different reasons and different ideas, you know. So at the end of the day is if I really wanted to find someone and things like that, it would be very easy. And people have asked me, you know, why don't you find a girl to travel with you? It would be really, really nice.
Again, people ask you?
About, like, finding someone to travel with.
Okay.
And I say to myself, well, I've tried everything. I've traveled with ex-girlfriend, family members, people I met in the hostels. And the only thing that I like is being on my own, traveling alone. Because at the end of the day, you're not even really traveling alone, because you can always meet people, all these applications, and everyone speaks English. And if you're friendly, you go to a bar in the world, you sit at the bar.
This is extremely interesting, because so you're basically saying that you become more social if you travel alone and then free to really get accepted at a hostel.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Then you have your little social group with you.
Of course, also. I mean, even as you said, you know, when you're alone, you're not forced. But if you want to meet someone, you have to go and
make an effort.
Absolutely, but if you're with your friend, it's easy. Yeah. Let's do this together. Let's do this together.
Live in your bubble and transport the bubble.
And then you don't meet anyone. And let's be honest. I think everyone agrees. When you travel with someone after a week or even longer, you start getting sick of that person. You know, and then
exactly what you mean.
You know, then you're relying on that person to do something. And and I understand people
always to organize two people instead.
Yes, and then someone wants to wake up 10 o'clock, you wake up at 8 o'clock, what do you do? So with me, it's like I can do whatever I want. Yeah. It sounds very selfish, but I'm not selfish, you know. It's just easier to occupy yourself.
Also, for me, the nice paradox is that it seems to me that you're more social for traveling alone.
Yes, of course.
This is a special effect of the podcast.
Yes, you need to be able to, when you travel alone, you know, it's... I mean, everyone says the same thing, you know. I travel alone. Of course, I met some people and they want to come with me to traveling to the next city. And I usually say no, because I want to be alone.
Okay, just have a picture, make a picture of them. Okay, wow, that's really cool. So your advice, can I summarize that, is don't be afraid of traveling alone. You will meet people.
Yes.
And you will become more social than traveling with your
buddy or something. Yes, and then you will, you know, you start being open and, you know, not living in your bubble and sort of relying on someone else, you know. Go and make a new friend. You know, people, I mean, as I say, people are boring until you meet them. you know. So, you know, of course, if you walk past all the people, they're very boring, aren't they? But go and speak to someone, you know. At the end of the day, when you're a tourist in any country, it's like an easy way to meet people, you know. Like here now, it's like, hello, how are you? Do you speak English? I'm looking for this park.
Oh my God, you come from Australia.
Yes, and then you can do what you want, you know. So it's not so difficult, you know. So again, people, it's just go and enjoy yourself, take risk, and again, you'll come out a better person.
Okay. Well, thanks for this advice, and I'm looking forward to making episode 3 of our podcast tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.